let the music play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Smooth Sailing on the first day of May 2021. The weather outside is very, very nice, very hot, 70s, so great Midwest weather, mediocre Southern weather. The sun is up right now, it's currently setting. The moon is not out. I like the moon, as you may know. And we are here today with Sophia as our guest for this week's Smooth Sailing. Sophia, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. I just want to make sure.
How's your day been, Sophia?
It's been productive out in the city. Well, more outside because of the perfect weather. Pretty much went to golfing and pretty much picked up trash for a service event. So, productive day, I would say.
Did you do that as part of Circle K? Was that a Circle K event that was going on?
The afternoon, yeah. Around 1 p.m. It's like a Circle K MSOE Green and Phil Good, like, joint service event. So, we did that.
How long have you been a part of Circle K?
I've been in Circle K since my freshman year, so I've been long haul.
Is Circle K a college sort of organization, or does it have branches that spans past college and before college?
So we're part of Kiwanis. I mean, Circle K is under Kiwanis, so we're pretty much a collegiate version of Kiwanis, and we do a lot of service, and like our three tenets would be service, fellowship, and service, fellowship, and leadership. So we have like pretty much five different branches of like the Kiwanis family, or like we call it KFAM. So if you're like in college, you'll be in Circle K. If you're in high school, that would be Key Club. So maybe some of you guys have heard of Key Club, but pretty much after you go to Key Club would be like Circle K. We have like the Builders Club and the K Kids, and then of course like the Action Club. So that's branches of like the Kiwanis family. So there's more than just beyond college, not gonna lie.
What can you tell me about Kiwanis? I actually don't know that much about the organization.
It's like pretty much an international service club, and in which they're like, it's international and it's open to a lot of like, it's like available in more than 80 nations, and of course it's like main motto is to like serving the children of the world, so pretty much helping out a lot of kids and like helping a lot of youth and making a difference. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they help each community meet what's needed and pretty much fight hunger or improve literacy, or of like offering guidance to youth in general. So yeah, so we're pretty much a big like service based org, so just giving back a lot to the community and local areas here. I hope that helps.
Do you know how any of the funding is done for this organization? Are there a lot of drives for Circle K?
I'm not sure of how Kiwanis works, but for us, Circle K, we would get sponsorship from our Kiwanis, like, area here in Milwaukee, but sometimes we also do fundraisers to help, like, do certain events that we have that we want to give back to the community, so, yeah. But obviously, with COVID right now, it's been hard, but we've been doing, like, fundraiser events through, like, their social media. So I know, like, each university does it differently, so, like, MSOE is structured differently versus, like, Let's say you use a Lee Plaza or like St. Norbert or like Carthage. There's like many different ways each club is structured and based on funding.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a. I didn't know. I'm just all taking this in because I didn't know Kiwanis was that expansive and vertically integrated.
Yeah, it is very big. It is around. Like, there's so many branches of it. And we're like, for us, Circle K, we're one of the big, like, biggest, like, service-based collegiate org in the nation. So, yeah. Fun fact. We live to serve and love to serve. That's our, like, motto, too.
And I know, because I'm on the Diversity Council, I know you're also on the Diversity Council.
Yes, I've been there since the day it was founded. It was the end of my freshman year, start of my sophomore year. I think it was the end of freshman year. I totally forgot. But I was there to see it happen and make it happen.
What do you think we should talk about the mural on air, or do you think we shouldn't talk about it?
I don't know. It's in the work in process, but I love the fact that we're having a mural on campus that promotes diversity, because I know some people are just like, oh, I just want to see someone of my race, of my color be represented. And I feel like that's one thing that the newer generations should have it. And just having it in a multicultural lounge would also be perfect and amazing, just to put on something on that wall that's been blank for quite some time and just putting on life in the room. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the idea is nice. I didn't like some of the things that the artist herself had to say.
Yeah, it is a work in progress.
And yeah, it'll get better. We have time.
That is true.
Asked my org to put in pictures because the artist wanted to do that concrete style, and we're trying to get symbolic pictures for her because we don't want any gay stereotypes, because she was talking about sort of you can tell diversity in a face, and that kind of scared some people in my org, and I think rightfully so. So
it's nice to have a voice from everyone around our community, because diversity isn't just about race or culture, but it's also about what we identify ourselves to be, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a good. Oh, also, we should probably talk. This is a question I personally wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
For a very long time, and it's gonna make me seem. I have a feeling that you're gonna hate this question because you're gonna probably get asked this all the time. But I know you're an actuary. What does an actuary do? Or actuarial science major do?
So pretty much an actuary is someone who analyzes and gets a lot of like data, and we like analysis in general, but we use like statistics to like calculate like insurance risks, of course like premiums for companies, but we're more than just that, because like we pretty much measure and understand the risk and uncertainty around the industry. So like we range from like we could be making sure like the balance sheet or like asset management, liability management. There's just so many things that we could actually do, because other than like helping figure out uncertain, like the financial impact of uncertainty and like help clients minimize their risk, we pretty much do a lot of like things around statistics and probability, and of course like figuring out what's going on in the economy. And it's just like, because some actuaries also do like price modeling, or some people also do underwriting. So it's something depending on which part of the industry you are, because some actuaries work for the insurance company. So if you're in that side of the industry, you pretty much help a lot with like the price modeling of like premiums and like insurances, and making sure things are like, we do a lot of like projection, I think. I feel like we're like the fortune tellers. That's what I say.
Crystal balls.
Yeah, because like some actuaries work for private companies as well. Like let's say some people work for Uber, some people work for Google, and some of us just works for like consulting companies. So there's just like so many things that we actually do, and we do like pretty much we evaluate so many, like we evaluate like we evaluate so many things of like the likelihood of future events, like using numbers, and we're just like actually using things that we have and that surrounds us, like data that we have, and we analyze them and make something out of it. And of course, we do a lot. We pretty much decrease the impact of undesirable events that will occur in the future. So we're doing our like knowledge in statistics and probability, but we also finance, because we also do a lot. We also have to take a lot of finance classes as well, and like economics, because we're business professionals as well. So it's pretty much making sure that we're giving financial security to everyone. It's a lot of things that we actually do, because we do code as well, because we have to know how to like use code for data analysis software. But some people also do actual coding as well to figure out manage data. But some people, there's, I don't know, I feel like we're like a mix. I feel like every person describes it differently, but I see myself for like a mix of like the, you're like a mix of being a finance person, but with like the power of a data scientist, but also the power of like being a statistician. I don't know. That's just what I do. That's just like my definition. I'm still working there, getting my way. I'm still figuring out where I want to be, which field I want to focus on.
It sounds like as a broad envelope, essentially.
Yeah, use a lot of math and statistics for sure.
Yeah.
Pretty much estimate the financial impact of uncertainty and help minimize risk around us. I think that's the easiest way to say it.
Yep. Anything that involves risk.
Yeah.
An actuary is there.
Especially with financial risk as well.
Yes.
So some people do consulting. We just do a lot of things. It depends on which side of. Because there's like many different types of actuaries. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I understand. So in one way you can be, and you didn't mention the specific subfield, but from what you're saying, I imagine a lot of it has to do with data science and cataloging.
And like,
just essentially intelligence is one side, and then the other side is
like the probability and statistics.
Yeah.
And finance accounting part, because
yeah that makes sense. That's good to know. I didn't know that before. I'm gonna be honest,
like some people don't work for insurance companies, prefer to work on a private company.
So what do you mean by private?
So some people, instead of going to like insurance companies like Northwestern Mutual, Progressive, some people would go to non like insurance companies. Some people would go to a banking banking, or some people would go consulting firms, or some people would just go to a private company that's not related to insurance or whatsoever. Let's say Uber, or let's say I know an actuary who works for Direct Supply, but he does what an actuary does, but like his label is different, but he still serves his purpose. Or some people work for like when I say Uber, Google, they also hire actuaries too, because we're there.
My question would be not so much. Okay. First question on the topic that we were just talking about is, do you have an internship, and have you worked anywhere analyzing risk for any private company?
I'm an international student, so I have limitations. So I can only work a certain amount of months, and under like, let's say OPT or CPT. So I'm not an American citizen. I'm just an international student. So we usually choose the YC of where we want to work. And given the COVID right now, it's kind of hard, because a lot of in our majors, like even though, because we do take professional exams as early as like end of sophomore year, because that's what actuaries do. We take series of exams to get our credentials. So the more you get, the more exams that you get, the more payment, like the higher salary is, and the higher chance of you getting a better job. So for my case, I'm just sitting on my exams, because it's been a hard market for me as an international student during the pandemic. Also, it's it's been rough, I would say, because of the pandemic. So some companies are cutting back of not hiring international students. So are like cutting back on the number of interns they're getting. Mm-hmm. I hope that helps. So
no.
For me, I'm
That does help. Can you elaborate on?
So, for me, I've been rejected to so many companies because they're just not accepting international students, or like they're cutting back this year. So I'm still looking for an internship. Hopefully it turns out well. If it doesn't turn out well this past remaining weeks, I still have hope. Hopefully I'll hear back for some of the companies if I ended up studying for more exams, and obviously maybe do a research or opportunity sometime in the summer. But I've done like analysis projects for my class, or like time series class, and for my statistics class. So pretty much I've worked with data to analyze things with it. I hope that helps.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's very different for us. So like I finished all, because I'm taking a double minor in finance and business administration. So I pretty much finished all my finance and accounting classes. And those take, like, the harder you go, the bigger the projects go. So, like, at first, you'd be just doing a simple analysis of a company's 10K, like, 10K form. And I think, I'm not sure if you know, it's kind of... It's like a comprehensive report filed annually by a company. So like they put on their how they're doing for their financial performance, or so how much they've earned, how much they gain or whatsoever. So it's more of the financial aspect, and like I've made various financial analysis reports on it, just comparing two companies which did better on certain fiscal years. So let's say if we compare Lowe's and Home Depot, what went wrong, what went well for this company, and who ended up doing better. Just analyzing through the things that they have for their like company's annual report. I know it's kind of different from like engineering and everything, but like for me, we pretty much see what's going on behind the numbers.
It must be interesting being able to see trends in companies and have that private data, like being the insider.
That's one thing that I really love. It takes a lot of problem solving and critical thinking as well. But that's interesting though. So like recently last year, I did for one of my classes, I predicted what factors are better for if you want to price model housing, like what's the best factors to consider if you want to price houses for the future in the real estate industry, because I'm still trying to figure out which part of being an actuary I want to be. Do I want to go for life healthcare, like the healthcare industry, or like the real estate industry, or just be consulting? So I've been just playing around with data recently. So like last year I was playing data about houses and like the factors to be considered, whether making pricing models. And like for this year, I'm working on the project right now. It's not yet done, but for this time, I'm working on life expectancy of a human individual, and what factors could like be included to consider an individual's life expectancy, so that we know in the future when we if we price someone's insurance, what should we be taking into consideration? So like for right now, I have factors like immunization. So it's have like immunization for polio, hepatitis B, and whatsoever important to be considered. And like other things, like if you're alcoholic or your socioeconomic factors. So like, did you go to school? Did you not go to school? Does that cause an effect of being your life expectancy, or being your like an individual's mortality rate from ages 1 to 1 in each country? I feel like I'm nerding out so much, but that's those things I really enjoy. So I've been gathering data from each country on a certain year and figuring out what went well for a developing country plus a developed country. I hope that makes
sense. That would be so awesome to get to see. Tragic, I guess, to see with the COVID situation.
I was planning on doing something with COVID, but data on that one still developed. Like
That's going to be analyzed for probably decades. Yeah. If you
like,
think
about it. I don't have the time right now to analyze that much of data because of like the classes we're taking here, and I overdo myself. Does that make sense?
I missed that last part where you said something to an extent.
Overkill myself with, because like we're almost done with the class, like we're almost done with the school year, and I only have like 2-3 weeks to figure out, analyze my data, and like with COVID, it's a big. The data sets are huge, and I just don't have the time to analyze that big of a data set because everything, because like online, there's certain websites that provides public information about data about COVID, and it's just, it's growing, changing every day, and it's big. I don't think I would be able to do it by myself. It's if it's a group project, possibility, but not for myself.
This website that you mentioned, is there
Well, some people also like John Hopkins also provide data. Usually just have my data from Kaggle. It's an online it's a place where a lot of people share information. So I use like Kaggle because it's like an online community of like data scientists and machine learning practitioners where they just pretty much share a lot of like data sets as well. I feel like it. And there's like competitions going in. So like for people who are like in the data science and learning machine learning, Kaggle is one big website. So I've been using Kaggle a lot. That's where I've been getting data and analyzing it. It's a subsidiary of Google, fun fact.
Is it sort of like an open source catalog for data sets that people can pull from?
Yeah, it's pretty much people find and publish data sets here, and we pretty much explore more on top of the data sets and build newer models for them. So it's a big community to be in general.
How do you check credibility with such a big catalog where it sounds like a lot of people can post?
Where they get, so there are some people online who get the data and put it in a little data set like CSV or PyTorch or whatsoever to help me job easier, and you actually could go through and like check the data, and there are some people who have actually done the research for you. So it's I don't know, I feel like it's been credible. It's a community of people sharing information with one another and, of course, analyzing things together.
So if one person started to find irregularities, then the entire community would know because
some people are helping it on top of it.
Yeah. Okay. That.
And it gets updated every single time or so.
Mm-hmm.
So like there is one section that's purely for COVID, so people are trying to figure out. There's also data sets about Bitcoin prices or like the time series of cryptocurrency. So there's so many things that's going on. It's just a big community for people like us in the industry.
So
people give tasks to other people and they'll figure it out. So it's a way for you to also learn and grow as well. But for us, if you're like a data science person or like analyzing data in general.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back on something you actually said a bit ago.
Yeah.
Involving classes and group projects. MSU is a very hands-on school with labs and practically everything we do. What the engineering departments do, what do the actuaries do to kind of get the sense of the same hands-on approach, if there is anything? I don't know that there is.
Actually, we're kind of different from the other departments because so we work in groups for our capstone projects. So we don't have senior design, but we have capstone projects. So we work in groups about that one. Then also we always do, there would be study groups for us to study and review for our professional exams. So I feel like that's why sometimes you don't see a lot of actuaries on campus. Like we do have, but like most of us are actually busy studying because we usually get our life because we're busy studying for our exams. That some people take it end of their freshman year, and some people take it starting their end of sophomore year. And the group projects we've been is always through like our business classes, or sometimes we're given to do a certain problem. We have to solve it together for like our exams. So like as a way of reviewing, we would, one of my professors would usually pair us together and we would do a quiz together, making sure we're helping each other out and making sure what's the best way to tackle this problem. So that's the best I could go for group teamwork. And like the business school does a lot of like group projects as well that I really admire that we also do.
Do you work with the business school often as an
we do have a lot of classes also. So we take a lot of classes as well in the business school because like all of our finance and accounting classes are from the business school, like our microeconomics and macroeconomics, and of course like data management in that area is under the business school, and like business analysis classes is also under the business school because those are also key factors that we need to know as an actuary.
Of course, because if you're managing risk, then you should know what
you're
most risky when you're looking at something.
Exactly. We do coding, but like the business aspects of coding. So like we have business programming, and also we learn it from the business school because there's like programming in general is very big and wide that there's so many uses for it.
Yeah. Even I don't want to call it non-programming things, but tools like Excel are probably so useful to you.
Yeah, we've learned Excel. Yeah, Excel has been a big lifesaver for us, and we would also say we're an expert in Excel because Excel is very powerful, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. You make codes and things within Excel as well. Like exceptions, you could actually make if and then statements as well in Excel. So the first I remember in freshman year, we had a class called communications, and that was like the class where we have to learn MATLAB coding, but we also have to learn Excel because there are just so many. Excel is very powerful that not a lot of people know about, and you can actually, there's so many formulas within Excel. And yeah, so like when you do Java, because we also learned how to do Visual Basic coding and Java coding, you would have if statements and loops. So you could actually do that in Excel, and Excel has many different functions as well that you could actually use that people don't really know exist.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you agree with me here, but Excel is weird because a lot of people use it, but not a lot of people understand how it works.
Yeah, exactly. So our profession, like being an actor, you should be very well educated. We're pretty much advanced. We should be advanced knowledge about Excel. That's what I would say.
More than even your typical engineer.
Yeah,
because it's engineering doesn't necessarily mean data analysis all the time for all engineers, but for actuaries and your computer scientists who are so focused on machine learning here.
Yep.
Yeah.
True.
It's such a useful tool to know. I wish I knew more. I have to admit, I'm not the greatest with Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would say I'm not the greatest either, but I'm growing and learning more and understanding Excel better.
And that's the goal. As long as you're getting better, then results will follow you.
Exactly, that's true.
Speaking of, this question came to mind a while back. For the viewers that don't know, you're an international student, and you just you mentioned that briefly. I've always had a question for any international student, and it's one of my favorite to ask, is how did you choose MSUE specifically, looking internationally at like the catalog of all the universities you could have chosen from?
So for me, I'm actually from the Philippines, very different climate, other way around of what we have here, mm-hmm. Very tropical. So I think because I really wanted to get an education abroad, and U.S. was one of the options I had. And I also had relatives who went here, and I did also had a cousin who studied his actual science, who got his actual science major degree here in the United States. And we were like, because the opportunities for like specific actuarial science education in Philippines is not that diverse, like we don't have a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to grow, and like for my parents always see our education as an investment. So that was one of the choices that we had. So like I tried to get other countries, but other countries are in a different academic year. So like Australia was off the list because they would start in a later date. And Singapore was an option for me, but I don't know. I felt like I just went to the U.S. because it was easier and it was more accessible for me. I just had an interest in the United States. But then I made sure I applied to Wisconsin and California because those states are where I have family. And I was the first one in my family like to go to the U.S., like on our side, like not like second cousins or whatever, like in a little family, like a little circle. Like the first, like my mother and father's side, not like, because the cousin that went here for college was like my second cousin. So like, they're like on like another branch of the tree. Like I was a female and my family were kind of very, not sure. They were kind of, oh, we want you, but we want to make sure that you're close to family. So I did apply to other states as well, but I ended up choosing, because my dream school was going to be in like the UCs, like UCLA or Berkeley or whatsoever. But I didn't know that time their deadline was so early, like November 1st, and I wasn't able to make it on time. So that was off the list. And for the Ivy Leagues, I had a little anxiety panic attack that I ended up not turning in my application because I was just so overwhelmed with what's happening over school. And I didn't want to feel that like mental like attack on me. So, but I still I ended up getting good offers from other universities. So like I ended up getting a good offer somewhere in California. I also got one from somewhere in Philadelphia, and I got like two here in like the Wisconsin area. And we ended up choosing MSOE because it was like the most generous of all, and it was also cheaper for me. And it was close to family as well, because even though I got into, like, I really wanted to be in Madison, I got into the honors program and everything, but it was very expensive for an international student like me because I'm not eligible for like federal grants or like FAFSA or whatsoever because I'm not a U.S. citizen. So I have to pay everything out of my pocket. So I pay a lot to be here, but MSOE was the most generous in terms of scholarship. It was MSOE and another school in Philadelphia that was very generous for me. So it was either that one or coming here. And this was the last call because it was just like 20 minutes away from where my fam, like my cousins are. Mm-hmm. And I liked the environment, like the class ratio, like faculty hands-on experience. And being an actuary is not that easy. And I need constant support. And I've already felt what it was like to be in a big and small school. So I, like, first of all, I went to a school that there were like just 200-300 of us. Like I pretty much know everyone. Then I transferred to a bigger school where our graduating high school, like our graduating senior class were around 1800. And like I pretty much knew what it was like to be in a small class size with only 20 people in a class, going to a room filled with 40, 50 other people. And that pretty much I figure out, like, in college, college is a place where you grow to be who you want to be, like, your individual. It's like, you have to, like, for me, I invest so much time in my college education because that's the definition of who I want to, like, who will I be, who I am going to be after, like, who I am as an adult. Because that's after college is where the time and moment where I'm going to be earning money for myself, making a living for myself, making sure that I know what's going on. And I chose MSOE because just all the faculty were very supportive, and the class ratio was 1 to 16, and, like, the school was, like, around 2,000 people, and I was like, okay, this is enough for me to handle, and, like, I just love the vibe, because, like, we're in a city, but we're not in a very busy, noisy city, and there's, like, places for me to wander, because I really love exploring and traveling, and I think that's what I end up being here, and it's also a good, like, I don't know, the actual science program is really good and really supportive, and, like, I really love how it's a family. It's becoming a family for me and home. Away from
I know some of the places you like exploring are the boba shops around here.
Yeah, so, like, okay, I do a lot of traveling. Like, I've been to so many parts of the U.S., but, like, I think boba or milk tea has been instilled in me because I grew up having it a lot back home in the Philippines. Since I'm, like, Filipino-Chinese, I was born and raised in the Philippines. And that's one thing I was always, like, every time we would go to the mall or something, we'd always get boba. And I'm happy that we have that in Milwaukee. And, yeah, my two favorite spots are good. Well, I have three. I have Serenity, Bubblicious, and, of course, Asian Fusion. Those are, like, my three go-to, like, boba places.
Do they know you by name?
Maybe no, because I've been just, I don't think so. Because, like, with COVID, people are just wearing masks. They don't really know.
Yeah, true.
But, yeah. I hope that helps. Like, I don't know. It's really good. I just have a big thing for milk tea. And like, tapioca pros. That's what they call boba because that's what it is called. It's like bubble tea. It depends on where you are. Some people call it boba. Some people call it bubble tea. Some people call it milk tea.
Well, it's growing. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually started off from Taiwan, and it started to grow around the Asian countries and spread across the world, too, because it's something that we really, really grew up having as well.
I also want to say that the whole... During your explanation of explaining why you were coming to MSUE and the whole family situation and everything, that sounded, I don't know, very RA like. I can't explain it, you know. I know you're an RA, but yeah. That's the one thing that every RA I've talked to has like expressed is the idea that college is a growing experience, which it is.
It is
100%.
Because I pretty much matured early in my little friend group. And, like, I experienced what it is to be, like, an adult. And, like, because in the Philippines, 18 is a legal age that you start becoming things. Like, 18 is pretty much the legal things that you have to do. And, like, you start being, yes, yeah, you're, like, an adult that time. And, like, I pretty much grew up very early because my parents, I think it's just because of how I was raised as well. Because I was raised in a very business environment. So, like, my parents and my family members are very businessmen. Like they run their own businesses and they're very business minded. So I was taught to like manage my finances at an early age and be responsible and to always think practically of the things I want in life and think that everything is actually an investment. If you don't do it, you won't have something in return. You won't profit from it. So, like, for me, I was trained very early because since I also played soccer since in an early age, and we would always have to have tournaments outside of the city, or sometimes our parents cannot come with us. So, we have to learn and take care of ourselves. And I think that's one thing I started doing for myself. Like, I don't have to be very dependent to my mom, but also I have to know what to do because everything's an investment, not gonna lie. Or I feel like it's just because of how I was raised. The mentality in me.
That grew into being an actuary. Managing risks from a young age.
As well, because, I don't know. When I was, like, young, like, when I was still, like, a kid, or, like, when I was, like, 10, 8, 7 years old, I would always be with my mom's side playing with her calculator. Like, playing with her little calculator. Solving things for her and like counting money, and I just enjoyed that stuff. And I've been just like big math nerd ever since when I was young, so I enjoyed that part of like the math side I wanted to be an engineer, but I didn't feel like I didn't feel I didn't see myself thrive in the industry.
So you didn't see yourself in the industry. Do you mean?
I don't myself. It's not something I would love. Like, it's not something I want to do for the rest of my life.
Okay.
It's like, engineering math is different from like also like business, financial math, and like your math in general, because like engineering math is a mix of other things, other concepts as well. And I didn't like that aspect. I enjoyed the like there because there's so many branches of mathematics to be like in general. There's so many parts of math, and I enjoyed the pure math and like figuring out what's going on, like the calculus and the derivatives and proving things. Why 1 + 1 = 1, or why the limit of a certain number goes to 0 whatsoever. I had like good grades for physics in high school. I excelled in all my parts in the field, in like I excelled in biology, chemistry, and physics. I had good grades in them, but I did not see myself. I wasn't really happy in doing it, and I've always enjoyed doing math, and I feel like statistics are probably was always nice and just helping out people understand what the numbers mean for them, because not a lot of people know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just want to help people because I really have a big heart and I love helping people. I'm very compassionate. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. And I feel like being in that field in the actuary industry, because you're solving things and minimizing risks and solving uncertainties, and just it feels like you're a superhero behind without people knowing. And like actuaries have been in the industry for so long, they just don't know they exist.
There's really no
moral
downside to being an actuary. Like, there is an engineer.
You don't know who they are until you met one. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. And engineers also, like, engineers are also superheroes. They build so many things and they make so many creations as well.
Well, yes, but I don't know. I've heard a lot of stories about a lot of evil engineers as well.
Like, there's... No, each major, it's not easy. There's always something hard. So, example, if you're an engineer and you switch, maybe engineering is easy for you, but it's easy for you, but nursing or the sciences, that part's harder for you. So each major has its pros and cons, and it always has its own difficulties and struggles that we go through.
I was more talking about from a moral standpoint.
That's true. Some people do it to harm people, some people don't. But it is what it is. It's humanity. You can't change what people do. Some people are greedy.
Well, I'm just very concerned about it because I sort of want to go into research. I wanted to go into research, and I chose MSUE, which is an industry school, because, like you, I applied to a very good state school and got into a very good program, but they still offered no money for me. And my dad also lost his job that year on top of quite a few other things, one of which may or may not have been COVID. And there was just no chance I could go there.
You know, a lot of people who are like, they go to MSOE and they still do research. So like, unless you reach out and talk to your faculty.
To REUs, yeah. Well, not this year because the programs are so tight because of COVID, like we mentioned. But it doesn't mean it's impossible.
Yeah, but I do know MSOE does offer research opportunities as well. You just have to talk and apply because not everyone has that knowledge, even though that's why applications exist, because they want to know students are capable and compatible. Well,
I've looked into it, and most of it is research done by other universities, and the research opportunities here are mostly unpaid, uncredited, which...
Depends, I'm not sure.
I've talked to one or two professors about it this year.
Yeah. I feel like each department's different in how they structure it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I know some people always do it for grad school to get their undergrad experience and go to grad school for research and everything.
It's also difficult because you don't quite... Grad school is one of those things where it can either work out for you and you can go there for nothing, or it will not work out for you and you'll have to pay out of pocket. And grad school out of pocket is very expensive.
That's true.
So in about 10 minutes, we usually go on break. Just giving you that heads up if there's anything you want to think about doing during your break. But going back to one of the things that I also mentioned earlier is you're an RA.
Yes.
When did you become an RA? Was it last year?
After my freshman year, so I started becoming an RA sophomore year. So it's now my... It's going to be the end of my second... I'm going to be going into my third year this fall.
As an RA, I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but do you develop favorites?
I don't really have favorites. I just have... because each resident's always different, each group is always different, there will always be a group that's immature, but they started off being mature at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any favorites, but I just always make sure that... they're not being in trouble, that they're doing, that they have to do what they have to do to get stuff done in school, and just pretty much be there as their, because I'm not their mom, I'm just there to help and guide them, and I'm not very restrictive, like, I don't tell them, like, hey, you can, like, be quiet.
You're not a cop.
I don't do that. I only do that when it's needed to be, because I'm their RA, but I also want to be their friend, their big sister, their, like, I can be their mom, but I'm their help and support them out and make the best of their college experience.
Which is about growing.
Yeah, it's all about growing and making sure that they're becoming the adults that they have to be. And like, as an example, because like we have so many things going on recently right now. Like I myself, I'm a junior. There are some things that I have to work on. And just setting that priority and like that I'm running out of the word. I'm trying to have the word. Like, that boundaries.
Time management.
Yes, time management, but you also set boundaries with your residents.
Mm-hmm. What's the word? Is priorities it?
Priorities are also, they're also your priority, but not your 24/7 priority. Because in every single RA, education is always the first, but academics is always your top one priority. And your residents know that too, because the residents' priorities is also their education, making sure their degree as well. For the RA, we're there to help make sure what they need. We help them give what they need, like the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So, like if they're struggling in the class, we direct them to things that we have on campus, RCAS, or like the guidance counselor or their professor. But for me, I just constantly check on them because I feel like I've always had the role of being like the mom in every single group. And I'm also the elder sibling in my, like I have a younger sister and just the two of us. And I've just grown with that responsibility just to take care of a lot of people. And being an RA was just very normal for me because I do take a lot of, like I take care of a lot of people and making sure you're all safe. And I care a lot for others as well. So I think it's just natural for me to be an RA as well, but also make sure that they also have fun. So like little game nights or little things that we do through the year.
I don't
have favoritism. I only have that because if you do have one, you end up causing drama and I don't want to cause drama as well. So I've never really had any favorites at all.
I guess that's not really what I was asking. I was more asking, is it, my roundabout answer, the thing that I wanted to know was, is it satisfying seeing your residents develop and become more mature over the year? Or does that not really happen in a year?
It does happen, and I think that's the most rewarding feeling of being an RA. You see them at the very start of their fresh, like, day one. You literally see them grow from day one to, like, end of their freshman year, and you would see at that point, at that transition, they've grown and developed. So like for my residents, that first few weeks are freaking noisy. They're just doing random things, like random crazy things that you do as a freshman. But as the terms and like weeks go by, MSOE, they start to realize their priorities. They will be like, oh, I can't be goofing around every single day or week or like every weekend watching a movie with my friends. You see their growth, that they're value, like they learn how to see their priorities. So like before, like I think from my experience, like every weekend I would hear the floor being noisy because they would be watching movies or playing some games, and you would be seeing laughing them back and forth. But as the week progress and you just check on the rooms, they are like studying, doing like, instead of like watching movies together, they would be doing homework together, but then they're still like chattering around. They still get the socialization, and you see like their grades get better. Some people get worse, but you're there to help them out. And what's even more rewarding is you start seeing them be involved on campus. So at first you'll be like, I'm one of those artists who push them. I'm a bit pushy, but I let them know, like first 3 weeks I would annoy them. Hey, open your doors, go to this event, go to this and that. And like later on, they'll start going to themselves and they start getting, like they start meeting new friends. They're not just hanging out with the same people on the floor. And they later on get like e-board positions and orgs. And I think that's the most rewarding thing that being an RA can be, because you helped them. You were like their guiding light to be there. You didn't tell them to do that, but you brought them to there, and they eventually founded a family and community. So like my residents before will only be hanging out with people on the floor, and now they're like in MAGE or in university or in, let's say, RHA. So like that's the, I think that's really nice to see for an individual. I don't know, that's with my 2 years experience of being an RA, and I'm a rising senior now. It's nice seeing how people grow from their little, like they're coming out of their shell. I'm being very sentimental right now, like a mom. Like, oh my God, my child is growing. Oh my God, a proud mom moment.
You're so proud of your kids.
Yeah, I'm proud of my kids.
I have to ask.
Sophia, do you allow your residents to call you mom?
Yeah, I do let them do that. If they like, hey, I'm like, you can always call me a big mom. Like, you could call me your big sister. You call me your mom. I don't really mind, because I'm technically older than all of you guys. So you guys have that respect on me, and it's all up to you whether you want me to
be mom or not.
Yeah, so like
we tried to call George mom, and I don't know if he was having it.
Yeah, it's always different with other people, but for me, I've been calling it, and it doesn't bother me.
Did you have the same four both years, or?
Yeah, I've had 4-8 both years, and both years have been co-ed.
How's it like being on a co-ed floor? I imagine that's a very unique experience.
It's pretty unique and nice because we all know MSOE is just filled in so many guys, like the ratio is not even. But like being in a co-ed floor, it's making that boundary and making sure like they're all connected, and like they see each other as brothers and sisters. They help one each other. They back, like they got each other's supports and got each other's back. So like I have a lot of MEs here, but like they, like if someone's struggling in a math class, they would help each other. And I feel like it bonded, my residents bonded so well as well, because like, oh, I don't really know a lot of girls on campus, but at least I know you, and like we share the same classes. Or like when they go into a class, they're not really afraid because they know at least a guy or two that they feel safe with, and like they have acquaintance.
I know.
It's been fun too. It just brings out evenness in a floor, because sometimes, like I've seen, like there's just some freshmen, like not saying, but it is normal because some people are just very immature. But having some people to be there, like they know what to do and what not to do on the floor, and like they're like, oh yeah, we're not teens anymore. We should be adults. We should respect the females on our floor, and we cannot do this and that. And like I feel like it's a good practice too, because in the real world you're not always surrounded with the same people you see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really fun. I like it. I've never had any issues, and I feel like it's because I brought up an amazing community.
You were a good mom.
Yeah, I was a good mom. You like it? Yeah. I don't know. So praise.
So, I'm mostly going to ask. I had something that I was going to say. Oh, I remember now. Do you think if we made being an expert in data analysis, if you tried to analyze the number of RAs that were the oldest or one of the older siblings in their families, what percentage of RAs do you think that would be? Oh, it looks like Sophia has muted for...
Yeah, so I don't know. That's a data. I have to figure it out. But maybe I feel like it's a less likely chance. I'm not... I really have no answer. No comment, sorry. No comment.
Because I feel I know quite a few RAs who are either the oldest or have younger siblings.
Like for this year's batch, I only know a few. There's not a ton of us. Like some people are the middle child, some people are the only child.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mix of everything, I would say.
Yeah, that's probably true. Maybe it's just the people I'm more familiar with from this batch coming up.
Yeah. This batch coming up, for sure, it's going to be unique and different.
I'm a bit nervous because how many people that got hired this year that are just freshmen, and when time comes around in 3 years or so, they're going to need to do another big hire, and so many RAs are going to be leaving simultaneously.
Well, it's every year they always do a mix of everything. It's not just all freshmen. They try to be diverse as well because they want an even staff, diverse staff.
Yeah.
So everything will turn out well eventually.
It's 7:00. We're going to go on break for the duration of this tropical rock song that I'm going to play, which is about, I don't know, it's about 2 minutes. Okay, so we're going to go on break for, let's say, till 7:05, and then we'll come back and pick up the second half of Smooth Sailing. Thanks for being on, Sophia. See you in 5 minutes. This has been Smooth Sailing on WJUV Radio 101.1 FM. See you all in a bit. Welcome back, everyone, to Smooth Sailing on 101.1 FM WJEB Radio. It is May 1st, 2021, and I am here with Sophia. Sophia, are you back?
I'm here. Don't worry.
Yay. Sophia, do you like the night or the day more?
Depends. I would say I'm an all-nighter, but recently my scoop schedule has been changing. But I would say I'm a night owl. I really love getting productive at the night, but I feel like recently it's been changing. I don't know why. I feel like it's me getting old. Going to sleep early, waking up early. But I prefer enjoying the sunset. It's one thing I really love. It's the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm. Night owls wake up to the sunset.
Yeah.
And fall asleep to the sunrise.
That's true.
When you say you feel like you're getting old, do you have any back pains?
Maybe. We're slowly getting there. I feel like it's getting there. I'm getting worse with age, and it's hitting me. Like, oh my god, we're almost there. Not really, though, but I feel like when you come becoming less active, you start, when you, like, take a hiatus, like, a stop for working out and coming back, you're like, oh, the crack, it's back, because you get switched out and done a lot of workout.
But when you get started, I guess there is going to be some point where you get off of that hiatus and you'll never feel as good as when you were not on the hiatus. I don't know. For me, so far, it feels like whenever I get back off of that hiatus and start working out again, I'm always feeling fine, back to my usual self after a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't hit that point of I feel like a third of my life is over yet. Oh, Mr. Bilkey just reacted with the eyes emoji. Mr. Bilkey, would you care to elaborate?
I did not experience any issues with the transmitter myself. But you brought that up in the staff chat.
Yes, I thought that was in general, my bad. On my end, it sounded like the song was being played twice, as in there was one layer of the song being played and then the next song was also being played on top of it. I was very confused during break and didn't know where to call it or not. So, yeah, that's what that was about. Maybe you heard it over the radio, but I think it was just on my end. Anyways, going back to what we were talking about, being elderly. Are you looking forward to being elderly, Sophia?
Yes, so we're a long way there yet.
Yes, you are, or yes, you
are not? Not yet. It's a long way to go.
But when you are, will it be happy times?
Maybe. I'm not. To be honest, it's very uncertain right now.
I'm looking
We're supposedly in the peaks of our lives, but clearly when you reach a point when you're retired and you have grandkids, that is arguably the peak of your life.
That's true. I'm not sure I can really say anything about it.
If you're not trying to be at your peak at all times, though, then what are you really doing? Like, do you have any excuse
I
for
am
not
prepared
trying
to
be at
to
your
skip
peak?
To grandparents immediately.
Are you one of those fast forward button people, Mr. Bilkey?
If I woke up tomorrow and boom, I was an ancient one, that would be pretty sick.
Sophia, what do you think he means by ancient one?
Oh.
If he had a numeric value, what do you think ancient value? Ancient one starts at.
I can't really say anything about it, to be honest. So I'm No comment.
Maybe 22.
22.
Better than ancient no. Almond Sophia.
I don't think so.
This is all like the filler stuff. This is like the prequels, and then you reach the meat and potatoes at like, I don't know, 60.
Why? Because you have retirement funds saved up then, hopefully, if nothing terrible happens.
You will have lived a fulfilling life and may now rest and fish and be a baller grandpa. That is the peak.
Okay. That's your peak. That's not mine.
I know. Not yet.
Mitch said his goal is to retire by 65 and spend the rest of his days at a certain establishment in Milwaukee. Yes. That is also not my goal. Hopefully retiring by 60. That sounds nice. Retiring by 65 would be nice.
I want to be one of those cool pair of people. I'm going to be living and thriving my life. We're getting there. I'm still undecided what my future holds.
Sophia, have you ever noticed at the Milwaukee School of Engineering there are some professors who choose to retire around their 60s, and then there are some that just stay until they drop?
Yeah. I do have some professors who, I don't know, I feel like Professor Griggs is one of those amazing professors who still is working for MSOE for I don't know how long already.
He could probably stop. I would put money on.
I don't think Hoofstig is teaching anymore.
Who?
Okay, I don't think he is in MSOE anymore. There's one professor who's been teaching for MSOE for maybe like 51 years now or something. I think he retired from MSOE, but I don't know. I feel like Professor Griggs is an OG.
I'm going to take him next quarter. I heard he was good.
He's really good. I love him.
I heard people refer to him as Grandpa Griggs.
Yeah, because he's been in MSOE for so long already.
Over 30 years.
Yeah, he started teaching in the mathematics department since 1984.
Wow. 50 years.
Dr. Mayer's been here since 1980, I believe.
Yeah, so there are some professors who's been here for quite some time now.
Over 40 years. I don't know. I don't think I will ever be one of those people that can just settle in a job for 40 years and be fine with it. I don't think I could do that. It's certainly less risky, probably. Sophia, as an actuary, is it less risky to settle down somewhere for 40 years if it's a stable income, then try and live an exciting life and switch jobs for the excitement of it?
Putting money also to your retirement fund and everything, just spread your money.
Oh, wait a second. Mr. Hendricks in the chat has said Dr. Strangeway has been here since 82. He got hired here without a master's and has multiple degrees from MSOE, which no longer exists.
I don't know. Each professor's different, that's what I would say. They all have different backgrounds that's unique on their own way.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to have a lot of different professors from a lot of different places.
Exactly.
Can we talk favorite professors, or do you not want to talk that? Because you've had probably a lot more professors than I have.
Maybe ones you like, but not favorites.
Yeah. Yes, that would be a good way of putting it. Don't touch that topic if you don't want to.
I don't really have any. I don't have favoritism. I see everyone equally in their own way.
I think we can all unanimously agree that Dr. Mayer is fantastic, and if he looks to donate to this station, we all love Dr. Mayer, right?
Yes. Yes, we do all love Dr. Mayer wholeheartedly. So we probably shouldn't have even said that, because if he listens to this one, he might doubt it. since we've been sarcastic in the past. And I really do like Dr. Meyer.
There is no sarcasm. Dr. Meyer is the best anywhere. Period.
That is true. One second. I'm going to need to take a minute break. I need to grab something. I just received a text and I need to make a call. No, we're just going on break. I was going to ask, do you want to take the host seat for a minute, Mr. Bilkey?
This is possible. Okay. Although, I got here at, like, I don't know, 6:50. Oh,
that's so true. You don't know what we've covered yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to go for one song. We're going for one song. I'll be right back.
Sounds good.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña colada,
And we're back. Again, this is Smooth Sailing on WJEB Radio 101.1 FM. I'm here with Sophia. We had to take a brief break because Captain Jack himself, Mr. Me, is, if you did not know, a genetic monstrosity that has several problems, one of which being type 1 diabetes, and I had a blood sugar level that was very low, and I did not want to take the risk of not treating it. Haha. Actuary pun, I think. Is that an actuary pun, Sophia?
I'm not sure. I'm really bad with humor with actuaries.
You know that
they aren't really known for their humor.
I'm sorry.
Really? There's not any good actuary jokes?
The odds are low.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I like that. Okay. Actuary. I'm looking up actuarial science jokes now.
What do actuarial scientists do? That's what we all need to know. Other than, I don't know, insurance risk calculation.
Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for this one, Sophia? Tell me what you think of this joke. An actuary, an underwriter, and an insurance salesperson are riding in a car. The salesperson has his foot on the gas. The underwriter has his foot on the brake. And the actuary is looking out the back window, telling them where to go. That's not a joke. That's like, I don't know. What was that? That one sucked.
No, that's just actuary humor. No, we love actuaries. I just know Angel likes to say that his major's really boring and actuaries are not funny, but Angel is funny, and Sophia, you are funny.
Aw, you know, maybe it's just my personality. I don't know, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. If I say puns, I'm not sure if you guys would even understand what I would say.
Why is that? Test us.
Okay. I'm not sure how educated are you, and you're like, how educated are you with your probability distributions? But I think I have one that's really nice. I'll be like, of course, I won't tell you anyone. I'm like the exponential distribution. I have the memoryless property. You guys know what the memoryless property is for the exponential distribution?
Nope. Tell me.
Never mind. We're good. We're good. I don't want to explain.
Aww.
This joke. It makes me want to chug some poison.
What type of poison?
I don't know. There's no point of saying of me if it's hard. Like, it's important. Never mind.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I ruined the vibes.
Yeah.
I ruined the vibes.
Okay. Maybe this joke. I'm not sure if you guys have taken financial classes or what. Have you guys heard of annuities or? Okay. Have you guys heard of annuities, those stuff?
No,
okay, I would say if there's a thing, my love for you is endless. Like, a perpetuity. Because a perpetuity is a bond or other security with no fixed maturity date. And it's continuous. And it's like, it's a continuous stream of cash payments that continues forever. So, like, my love for you is like it's endless because it's a perpetuity. Okay, never mind. Because a perpetuity is an annuity that lasts forever. I think that's definition. You're like,
oh, bet. Okay. That's the funny.
Okay, uh I don't know. I'm just trying.
It's fine.
I feel like there's just like, just.
Wait a
second. I don't know. Never mind.
Well.
There's many jokes.
I guess it's
really interesting, but I'm not sure it will be interesting for you guys.
Because we're not actuaries.
Yeah. So, like, there's one thing if you, like, have you heard about the gamma distribution or something? Because, like,
Nope, I don't know what the gamma distribution is.
So, like,
I'm sorry.
Also, like, for finance, it's like, hey, since the first time I saw you, my interest in you has compounded continuously because it's, like,
I get that one. That one makes sense.
Yeah. And just, like, with the SOE exams, there's, like, jokes about it, but I'm not sure if you'll even get it.
Can you tell me about those exams? You mentioned them very, very, very early on. The professional exams you have to take at the end of your freshman and or beginning of your sophomore year, what are on them and what do they do? Hello?
Yes. So for actuaries, you have to take a certain exam to get your like fellowship. So like you get your associate, you're like your fellowship. And like you have to take 10 sets of exams if you want to be like officially called like a good. Like, some people only take few exams, and they're good. But some people, like, because the more exams you take, you get a higher pay, a higher rate, and you're learning more. And yep. I think it goes associate, ASA, then FSA. So associate, then fellowship for exams to be an actuary. And, like, people go, like, they go to casualty or non-casualty, so that's another branch that you take. Because after you take your few exams, you pretty much figure out which side of the actuarial industry you want to be in. So there's just so many exams and requirements that I would say. So some people take them, some people don't. So, like, there's, like, you get your associate for the Society of Actuaries, or you could also be like a Chartered Enterprise Risk Analysis. That's another set of exams. And you get to be a fellow of the Society of Actuaries. And there's just different ways for you to take it. We have a big like little chart of how you do it.
And are these internationally recognized organizations similar to...
So each country is different. So like Canada works its own different way. I think Canada and the US are on the same page, but I think the UK is different. So each country has different exam credentials. I know the Philippines is under the US like system, and some people are different. So like the UK, they call it differently versus here in the US as well.
Similar to like a bar or legal
something like that
accreditation, except it's
like for the UK, it's called the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries, and they have different exams for that one. And for the US, it's like the Society of Actuaries, and we also have different standards. So like we still work the same way, but we just have different credentials and like trainings. I would say it's very different. So it's another whole world of that industry. We have to trade credentials so for us to be better at what we do.
I actually want to ask you about some of your volunteer stuff, wrapping it all the way back around to the first thing we talked about tonight. Do you have any volunteer experience that is particularly memorable to you? Like things that really stand out that you're really proud that you did.
That's one thing I've grown into because ever since when I was young, we would always do some sort of service or giving back to the community in the Philippines. So I think the one stood out because I've done so many voluntary service, and I think the one stood out the most for me, one of my org called Tsuji or Tsuji. I could just type what it is. It's like a Buddhist Compassionate Relief Foundation, but just helping a lot of people around the world. And I think that's one thing I grew up a lot, and like in the Philippines we would have like rice distribution and everything, but before we have to do that, we have to like see the family, like collect, like see what they are. And like Philippines is like one of the third, like where it's very different from the US. And I think one memorable is like some people still live by the sea area, so like their houses are like over the sea, and like when you want to go to point A and point B in the area, like there's only like only 1 foot wide inch of like pathway for you to walk there, and it's just like so scary. But like being able to walk there and give them help that they need, and like give them their rice, is very fulfilling for me. So I've experienced so many different aspects of the social stat, like groups of people, from the poorest of the poor to the richest of all. And like it's very different to see like impoverished people suffering so much, and I feel like that's one of the reasons I've always given back so much, and I've just always helped, because like in the Philippines there's just so many people who are struggling as well, who don't have that opportunity as what we have right now. And like I've been taught that if you're blessed, you should continue cherishing those blessings and make more blessings and share your blessings. And that's why I've always just given back so much to the community, because I'm already satisfied and fulfilled of what I have right now. I just help those in need. So like the ones I've done in the Philippines really helped me a lot, but also here in the US, because you could see like the homeless here are also very different from the homeless people in the Philippines, but they also need help. Even they don't look the same, but they still need the help and guidance.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe the Philippines to our listeners today?
It's very tropical. There's a lot of like, but it's like also a city vibe. So like depending on which part of the Philippines you are. So like if you're like in the capital of the Philippines, like Manila, it's like New York. There's like so many tall buildings and like there are highways and everything. It's really, it's a very modern city as well. So like there's so many modernized, like a lot of part of the Philippines are modernized, but also part of the Philippines also stay of what it looks like, because like we boast a lot of how we have so many beautiful and like environmental scenery. Like we have amazing beaches, like people go for Boracay for the vacations, or like we have so many wonders of the world that can be found in the Philippines, and we still preserve them. And it's also very different because like you still have like your modernized like transportation and everything, but we still keep like our old traditional ones, like with our jeepneys and like our motorbikes or something. You could still see some horses with the little carriage in different parts of like the Philippines. And like there's a part of the Philippines where they still kept like the Hispanic vibe roots, because like we were like the Philippines was like conquered by the Spaniards for more than 300 years, and after the Spaniards were like the Americans and the Japanese, and like the like a lot of the Philippines architecture also look very Hispanic, but then like Americans brought in education and modernization to our country, and like things from the West brought into the Philippines, like Western culture. So like there's so many cool buildings, like English and like I think like music too. So like I feel like Philippines like a mix of everything of what you would see as well. So like if you travel within the city, it's very city vibe, but after that one's very rural. But yeah, and you would see a lot of farm too. But like the farm definition there is very different from here, because since we're a tropical country, we grow different crops. So you would see a banana plantation, a pineapple plantation, a rice plantation. There's just a lot of variety, I would say, and like the seas and beaches, you could go swimming. I feel like it's just because like we only have two seasons. We have only the wet and dry season.
Yeah.
And we just have those things. But then we also have to be very careful. Not a lot of us have like basements, because since we're located by the Pacific Ring of Fire, we have volcanoes that would erupt from back and forth. And we would get typhoons. Typhoon is like a tropical rainstorm that's very strong. So like your definition of a strong rain here is just nothing to us. Like our definition of a big typhoon is when you start seeing those like trees swinging back and forth or coming falling down, and a flood goes up to your knees or sometimes above your face, and just like it gets intense in that sense too. Or like floods would go over your roofs. Some would go to that severity. But it's a mix of everything, I would say. And we have so many islands, so I really love island hopping when I'm...
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about island hopping? Like, how does it work?
There's just some parts of the Philippines, there are like small islands that people just go for like a swim or like a little vacation or whatsoever. So there would be both like wharfs, what's it called?
Wharfs, like docks?
Docks, yeah. And they would have boats at there, so and those like sail and those like boatsmen people know where's what island to island. So like in my part in Davao, like I'm very down south of the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this island that we connect, and it's just so many other smaller islands. So you just go from one island to Point Island, and you could go like snorkeling, you could go watch swim with the fishes and coraling, like looking at the corals and whatsoever. And sometimes you would eat in the boat. And like the boat we have is very different from like the boats here, because they're like made in a certain, it's like very traditional. It's like made out of bamboos and stuff. It's like one of those older types of like, it's not the modern boats. We have modern boats, but we still keep it like how it is from our culture.
Is it more of a cultural thing, or is it
It's more of a cultural thing, and that's like what people like Filipinos grew up
mm-hmm.
having. So if you just type on like Filipino boats, it looks different from your boats that you would see in the U.S.
Well, it's also probably if it's not broke, don't fix it sort of scenario.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing wrong with these boats, probably. How long do you think they've been around? Thousands of years?
It's been around for years, for sure, because some of them just remain how it is, just to preserve culture and, like, traditions.
And they still work, which is amazing.
Because you just work it out from a motor. Just, mm-hmm. That's pretty much how it works.
Yep.
I don't know. Sometime in the future, you guys can come visit. I'll show you guys around. But like jet ski and kayaking are still a thing. Those still exist there, okay? The modern ones, yeah. We still have those too. There's like the modern boats to like the big tacky boats. But just we have a mix of everything, I would say. We still keep, even though everything's modernized, we still try to maintain what we have for our culture.
Which is what diversity is.
Yeah, because we have so many tribes and ethnic groups in the Philippines too, who still keep their culture alive. So, like, American boat is different from Filipino boat.
Do you like the tropical environment of the Philippines?
The weather and everything. I low-key kind of miss it, but, like, sometimes, I don't know, I feel like I came to the U.S. because I want to experience the winter, spring, summer, or fall. What it feels like, and like the cold, and not to worry. But then you have to worry about layering. But in Philippines, you don't really have to worry about anything. You just have to worry about being too hot or being too wet because it's raining. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just all different.
There's not really, you can't really compare it. It's just one thing and then another.
That's true. Or if you want to go back, if some people, yeah, that's true. Because we're kind of down near the equator.
Mm-hmm. How long of a trip is it from the Philippines to the U.S.?
Depending on where in the U.S. you are.
To here. Let's say to Milwaukee.
So I would usually fly out from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like like depending. So some people would go Chicago to New York, or okay, depending on what countries you stop over. So some people stop over in different countries, some people. So like the first route I took when I came back is like, it's approximately like 20 hours in total. If you just sum it up, flight time without the layovers, just like air travel time. So it's around 19 to 20, depending on which route you take. Mm-hmm. So like when I came to the US, I took like Manila, Seoul, Korea to Seattle, Seattle, Milwaukee, because Milwaukee is like a smaller airport. Or you could also take the route where some people go Chicago, New York, Manila, because there's only two airports in the U.S. that has direct flight from Manila to the U.S. It's like Manila straight to JFK in New York, or Manila straight to California, L.A.
Manila to JFK, that's...
Yeah, so Manila, JFK, that's New York. So there's like a direct flight from New York to Manila, or a direct flight from L.A. to Manila, because that's, I feel like there's a bigger like Filipino community there. Mm-hmm. But some people also take like pit stops to other countries. So like layovers. So depending on where you want, you could always do like the U.S. Some people would do U.S. Turkey, U.S. Korea, U.S. Japan. Just depends on which way you want to take your flights. Just many options.
Have you done that? Have you taken a short vacation in any other countries on the way here or on the way back?
Yeah, I've just done Korea more often because I've already been in Korea, and I feel like I've like got used to the airport and how it looks like, and like maybe the people. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. I want to stop in Japan in the future. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. It's still kind of undecided.
What cultures and countries have you seen or been to?
I'm more of the Asian countries, so like China, Taiwan, mm-hmm. and Korea, and of course now I'm in the U.S.
yeah
it's kind of hard because I hold the Filipino passport and we have to get visas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that's restricting me, because every time I want to go somewhere, like I like, you know how Canada is, there's like, you could just literally cross the border. But since I hold the Filipino passport, I have to get a visa for me to enter Canada, even though we just drive through Canada. Some people drive through Canada, right?
Well, you can. You're not supposed to, but you can.
Like, some people drive through, but then you still have to have a passport with
you.
So, like, me, I have a passport for me, but then I have to get a visa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense. I think I might end it a bit early just because, like I mentioned, I am not in the best state right now and my mind's not really processing too well. And
okay. But it is.
Yeah, I'm not really in a state to interview necessarily.
Me though, thank you for listening and tuning in to WJUB Radio 101 FM. You host Mimi, Mimi. No, I'm too busy. I'm busy studying for my exams.
Good luck on your exams. Maybe you'll be back next year with Smooth Sailing 2.
Yes, an update. We could make a little ASMR video. I don't know. Bilky ASMR.
Oh. Bilky ASMR.
All right, let's do it.
For a YouTube channel, I don't know.
Yo, you have a YouTube channel.
You do have a YouTube channel.
I only uploaded one video. It was out of because I was born in quarantine. I've taken so many videos this year. Came back.
No, you have a couple. I'm a very avid fan of this YouTube channel.
I wasn't sure people really want to look through the content. We'll see how it goes. Summer, we'll figure it out, folks.
Well,
yeah, but I'm going to go back binge watching on a Netflix series. I'm down to the last episode, and I'm going to be going back to homework after and studying, of course.
All right. Well,
thanks for having me, folks.
You're welcome, and it's fun having you. Maybe again sometime. But as for now, this has been One Final Time. Smooth Sailing on WJEB Radio 101.1 FM. This has been your captain, departing off. I didn't cue up the song again, Bilky. Cut this out. Cut this out in post.
Okay.
Let's find. I don't even remember what it is. Okay, All Night Long. Yep. No, it's gonna be a long night.
It's gonna be a long night.
It is gonna be a long night. Okay, bye everyone.
Stanford, could I interest you in a mint?
Thank you for having me, though. I'm gonna head out now.
Okay.
Bye,
Sophia. Yes. I have a crippling mint addiction. I would very much enjoy this mint. I have a whole bag in my room, actually.
Light.